Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I am your not so humble host, Jonathan Barnett, and with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam. How are you today, Aaron?
Hello, John. I'm in a very good mood. First Brewers game of the year kind of mood. I know it's August, but I had to watch the collapse myself.
That's true. Yeah, I got into a couple this year. We do at least one with my family, my brothers and my parents and such, and extended family every year. But what we need to start off with today, though, Aaron, is, of course, apologies. Because normally, normally we have this out late Monday night here, Central Time, so that everyone can get to it Tuesday as quickly as we can get to it. Unfortunately, we did record. Well, fortunately, we did record. Monday night, and then I set the entire thing aside, and then I went to take care of a couple other things. I came back, and the entire podcast had flatlined, literally, because as I'm recording, I can see the volume spikes, and I came back to just complete flat lines, and that's where we were. So I don't know what happened.
That's not good.
No, it was
so here bad. We are on a Wednesday night. Yes.
Yes. So we're here. We're getting you stuff. We're just going to be a little late this week. Apologies to everybody. I don't know exactly how it happened. Hey, great time in the state of Wisconsin, though. We're talking several different sports all at once now. We've got some Badgers news. We've got some Packers news. We're going to build up to that because, as everyone knows, Wisconsin is, of course, a drinking state with a football problem. We will build to football. We will start with the Brewers, who... Well, they were a little different than what Aaron was fearing, but not a ton off of that. They managed to split with the Cubs last week, thanks, of course, to zombie Ryan Braun, and thanks to a misspelling on the Brewers' website at one point, of course, Ryan Brain.
But,
yeah, he managed to get his first two-home run game in, I believe, my entire lifetime at this point, but maybe it's not quite that long. It just seems like forever. Several million dollars ago.
I actually saw him do it once, actually live at Miller Park. But no, yeah. And the feeling today is a lot more. It's a lot better than it was on Monday. On Monday, it was like thank God we salvaged one from St. Louis, so we didn't get completely knocked out of the standings. And of course, today being Wednesday, not our usual podcast day, the Brewers did complete their series against the Reds today, winning 2 out of 3, and it should have been 3 out of 3. But last night, Tuesday night, didn't go so well. Brewers a virtual lock with the Cardinals now for second place. They're technically third place because the Cardinals' winning percentage is .551 and the Brewers is .550. So, but they're both 2.5 behind. And, it's like we said on Monday when we originally podcast. So like we said on Monday, we went into that series with that with the Cubs and Cardinals, and I said it was worst case scenario. They're going to get swept by both. They're going to be 7 games out and the season over. Well, the next day, the Brewers turned around, and like you said, zombie Ryan Braun just pounded the Cubs 7-0 in Wrigley. I wish I could have been there to see it. And then next day, lost, but, you know, a split in Chicago, that's okay. And then, of course, salvaging that last game barely from St. Louis, but still, if you go 2 out of 5 on the road between Chicago and St. Louis over the course of 5 days, that's not bad. I mean, yeah, of course you want to sweep them both, but yeah, 2 out of 5 isn't bad. So, and then of course now being Wednesday night, they've rolled into kind of back to their winning ways, and Freddy Peralta looked really good today. He even knocked in one of his own runs. That was good, and yeah, and of course I got to see all that live. Got to take my 3-year-old boy to his first Brewers game today, so I got to watch and see the series finale today, and it was good to see the Brewers live. It's been a couple of years having moved down from Duluth, Minnesota, but I love Miller Park. It's a great experience, and if nothing else, that team and the fans for a Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. It was about 3/4 capacity, but it was still loud. And Yelich hit a home run to start the game, leadoff home run, and that place was juiced. And I miss it. I missed it, and I'm glad that it's in my backyard again now. So
Yeah, it's great to see Yelich
it
hitting
is
again.
Wisconsin's team.
Right, Yelich did have kind of a slump there, but he's powered his way out of it. He was 4 for 4 today with a double and a home run, if I remember correctly. The other thing that I do want to mention, you mentioned the getting that salvaging the game against St. Louis, and we talked about this in the lost recording. Chausin looked great. He's been wonderful for this team this year. He's been just fantastic. I like seeing him and Freddy Peralta going forward. Maybe someday we can get zombie Jimmy Nelson back. On top
Zombie Suter, Zombie
Yeah.
Zach Davies.
Yeah, just
Hey,
so
that'd
many
be a
things
decent
going.
lineup, wouldn't it? A decent rotation.
Yeah, and it would be fun to see that. But the best part is that the Cardinals came back within a or I don't like saying within a run, because they're not within a run, because if you knock on the door, you're not within the house. They were a rundown. They were a rundown, and they hit a long blast with 2 outs in the ninth. And it went about as far as it can go without becoming a home run. And Broxton
Yeah,
pulled it in. And
Hader striked out the first two, correct?
I believe so, yeah. He's throwing just a ton of heat at him too. Wasn't giving him the slider. He was going a lot of fastballs. And then that ball traveled a long, long ways and they caught it. And that was the best thing, because it meant that all of St. Louis got very excited, very hopeful for a second, and then we crushed all of their spirits suddenly. Very suddenly,
They
just a
got it.
snuffing out of a flame on a candle.
I'm
It
sure
was great.
even Cubs fans were happy about that one. So
And for those who don't go to Brewers games a lot, and you'll notice this now that you're closer to Milwaukee, at every Brewers game and at basically any baseball game I've ever been to, there's always some guy in a Cubs hat when the Cubs aren't
Oh,
playing.
I saw him today too. I saw the same guy. I'm like, why is this guy wearing a Cubs jersey here?
And not only do they wear the hat, they boo both teams. Same with Cardinals fans. They just show up and boo both teams. You're like, why did you pay money to boo two teams you didn't want to see win? So either way, that was fun. They are, I guess, in a mathematical sort of tie with St. Louis, but they're in that last wild card spot right now, 2.5 back of the Cubs for the division, one game up on with Colorado and someone else. They're still in the fight of it. They just need to keep going. They've got six more with the Reds. They've got nine more with the Pirates. They got a series with the Pirates coming up to end this week. They have six more with the Cubs yet, and three more with St. Louis, and then a couple other games here and there, especially with Washington Nationals are one of them. The Nationals who have just
Who
given up.
just officially gave up. They just officially gave up
Yeah, and I listen
yesterday
to the
with this
Tony
trade.
Kornheiser show a lot because he's hilarious and he's funny and his takes are great and he's just like a weird old man. But yeah,
Yes,
I
he
can't
is.
wait to hear what he has to say about the end of everything Nationals as they just give up and see how they go here. But
No,
that's where
that's
we
right, because I always forget Kornheiser's Washington based, isn't he?
Yep, yeah, he's still in D.C., so he
Yeah.
gets all of his stuff. All of his sports ties are D.C. for the most part. Moving on, though, as
Hey, I was
oh,
gonna
what?
say one last couple last thoughts.
You're
Two pet
killing me,
peeves
Aaron.
about baseball that I hate.
Okay.
Earlier you mentioned about knocking on the door. You were talking about how people phrase things. One of the things I hate, and even Uecker does it, but when they say bottom of the ninth, two outs, a guy on first and second, and the winning run is at the plate. Don't. Because there's a lot of stuff that has to happen before that guy's the winning run. So can we just kill that phrase? How
Or
about
just one
the
thing.
winning run is at third base? You can say that, or the winning run is at least in scoring position, like the winning run at second base, or the tying run. It's like, oh. And the other thing that pet peeves me is one of the things that I've heard a lot of Brewers fans say is that what grinds my gears, they said that the Brewers didn't, a lot of people say, well, the Brewers didn't go out in the offseason and get a big arm. They didn't go get an ace. Chacin has been an ace this year. They went out and got him and had the rest of the rotation's arms not fallen off their body. It'd be a very good lineup. I mean, or it'd be a very good rotation. Chacin has been everything, and they got him for a bargain. I mean, who else were they going to go get? There was nobody else in the offseason. Basically, out of all the free agents that were available, Chacin's outperformed all the starters that were available during the offseason. So can we stop it with the Brewers and go get a good starting pitcher? Because they
Yeah,
didn't.
everybody likes
Done.
a name,
So.
and that is why people were always mad with Ted Thompson. Is like, yeah, he put together a ton of great players and a ton of talent on the field, but he didn't go get a name, and that's just the way people are. People want to see something they already know. And baseball is a very local game. Everybody knows their own team. People don't necessarily know the entire league. Everybody, I mean, the numbers are great for baseball, and attendance and even watching on TV is pretty decent. But that's just because everybody watches their own team. We watch the Brewers. I'm not staying up late to watch some West Coast Padres Giants game because I just don't care about any of those people. And I know they want to
And
try
did
to make
anybody
more
see Yu Darvish pitch in the playoffs last year? He stunk. He was horrible. And everyone's clamoring over, oh, I want this guy. What? Well, he's great in the regular season.
Yeah, and
So what, you're going to use him through the regular season and then just bench him in the playoffs? Because that dude got annihilated
right, and
in
that
the
was a
playoffs
take
last year. It
that our
was.
mutual friend Brandon Carlin was giving us too, or at least giving me during the preseason, that he didn't want Yu Darvish, and he was hoping the Cubs would massively overpay for him and get nothing out of him. We maybe as the season gets closer to the end here, we can see what
You know what I
Brandon has to
really
say
hope?
to us on that.
I hope that the Cubs make the playoffs, they get to the World Series, and Yu Darvish gives up a home run in the ninth inning in relief to lose the whole series.
That
That's
was
what I hope.
that's kind of like when the Chicago Bears went to that last Super Bowl against Peyton Manning. When they lost so embarrassingly, I was like, this is why God allowed that to happen, is only to raise them up so that their humiliation would be more televised.
That's and you know what? Every Packer fan in the world was just in love with the Patriots when they beat the Seahawks on that last minute drive.
I was torn on that.
I think that's half the reason why a lot of Packer fans are Tom Brady apologists is because of that Super Bowl after us losing in the NFC Championship game and them losing like that in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady was about the most popular person in the state of Wisconsin that day.
I don't know. I was pretty torn. I think most people are. They would have been happy with either of them losing because every time Tom Brady does something, which by the way, his first three Super Bowls were his defense winning. And I mean, he's great now. He wasn't this guy during those first several years. He was scrambling to get 3,000 yards the first several years. And because part of it is then they always talk trash about Aaron Rodgers whenever he comes on. And also they forget that, by the way, Bart Starr has five titles. All right, so when you start saying that Tom Brady is the first five Super Bowls, it's just because they didn't name it a Super Bowl back then. And he's the second guy to do that. So whatever. I don't know that the people I was talking to were not as excited as you were about it. We were just kind of like, I hope they both lose because I hate
I
them
was
both.
still really because they can't both lose, and I was still really mad about the NFC Championship game. And I've even what was his name that had the ball bounce off his chest when Jordy should have fielded it. I mean, just
Oh, Bostic.
everything. I was just happy. I was happy that day to see the Seahawks lose. So, and you
Yeah.
know me, I'm even a Richard Sherman apologist. I'm a Tom Brady apologist and a Richard Sherman apologist. You know, both of them. But yeah, I was, and I always side with. I've never had a problem. Belichick is a great coach. Tom
Yeah.
Brady might not be the best talented quarterback of all time, but he is definitely the winningest of all time. And that has to say something with a cast of different wide receivers every year, which seems to be everybody else's downfall. But and
But also
I mean,
with
as
guys
far
who
as
do what
talent
he
goes, I
does,
mean,
his team is actually built more, better around him than Rodgers' team is. That Brady doesn't have a great
right.
big deep arm. They got him a bunch of slot receivers and said, "Brady, you're going to let go of the ball in 2 seconds because he can't run away
Right.
from anybody." Rodgers, they wait for him to make some miracle play. Brady, the ball is out in 3 seconds because he's just going to get hit. And they spend
Right.
time. They know not to go get big name receivers because what he needs is slot guys. What he needs is tight ends. And then he gets a top 10 scoring defense every year. Every year he has a top 10 scoring defense. That's how he wins. So either way, though, we'll move on
Right.
to football that matters more to Wisconsin than the Patriots and the Seahawks. Is first off the Badgers college football coming up very soon here. Wisconsin opens up with of course, a very difficult home game. Western Kentucky, and
Are they the Hilltop? Is that the Hilltoppers, or is that the
they are the Hilltoppers, and their helmet
fighting?
has a hand waving a towel.
Oh, isn't their mascot the big red blob?
Yep, Big Red, I think is his
Oh, that's going to be a great photo op with Bucky and the big red blob. Oh, that's awesome. Sweet.
name. Yeah, and they're clearly going to win. Here's the thing. Badgers started off AP rankings came out. Badgers are the number four team in the country right now, right ahead of Ohio State. And Ohio State had their own news today in that Urban Meyer is going to be suspended for three games, of course, the three non-conference games on there. But Wisconsin has bigger problems than
I was
Ohio
going to
State in
say
terms
that
of that.
those rankings might have been different if those rankings would have came out today. Like,
It's entirely
those are your two
possible.
top receivers.
Yeah, on August
That's the
20th,
reason
which
why
is Monday.
Ohio State was behind Wisconsin was because of the Urban Meyer thing. And now with this, I mean, during the Lost episode on Monday, we were speculating whether or not Danny Davis was going to get named, and sure as heck, here it is today.
Yeah, and what you're
That's
talking about is it's the Quintez Cephas thing. On August 20th,
yes.
Quintez Cephas was charged officially in a criminal complaint in Dane County, Wisconsin, which is where Madison is. And he was charged with two different felony counts, a third degree sexual assault and second degree sexual assault of an intoxicated person. His initial appearance is tomorrow, August 23rd. So by the time you hear this, he'll probably already be there. His season's got to be basically done at this point, I think. Those are massive felonies. Those are not the sort of things that prosecutors are going to give a lot of leeway on. They are very well trained in terms of going after those sorts of penalties. There's a lot of emphasis on stopping things like sexual assault, especially on a college campus. So my guess is this is going to be the end of his season, if not his entire Badger career. It could be done. We remember placing this is a Class C felony and a Class G felony. A Class C felony, for those who don't know, is a maximum penalty of 40 years, which is, as we say, bifurcated or split up as a possibility of 15 years of initial confinement in the Wisconsin State Prison System, followed by 25 years of extended supervision, which is, you have a probation agent, a person who can watch over you. And you can be sent back to prison for violating the terms of your extended supervision. That's not what, obviously, you're necessarily going to get. Doesn't look like Quintez Cephas has any prior legal history, so it's definitely not going to be that. But there's a lot of things hanging over him, and this is going to be a tough time. And Danny Davis, as you said today, got a two-game suspension. Where are we at this receiver core, I guess?
Right. Well, much like the Urban Meyer thing, at least it was. I mean, I'm not saying it's as if it's a good thing. Like the reason why he's suspended. I mean, it shouldn't make that make a difference because it is during the quote unquote cupcake games. And as I just saw this headline from Deadspin, Wisconsin has Jonathan Taylor, and that's all you need to know. Thank you,
That's,
Deadspin, for
yeah,
putting it so well,
so
as
wonderful.
usual. But no, these are horrible things. And, you know, and as of right now, there's nothing out there. You know, having been over in Minnesota, I know that this was a big deal a couple of years ago with the Golden Gophers football team. They a whole bunch of guys missed a New Year's Eve bowl game. I'm not going to pretend I know Gopher football and remember what game it was, but a whole bunch of them did, and it turns out that in the school suspended them, and everything happened, and then it turns out that most of them weren't even in the building at the time. So you hope maybe this is just something that actually didn't happen or got blown out of proportion or something like that. But I mean, if he did the deed, I mean, sorry, Badger fans. As much as it hurts your team, he's got to go. It is what it is, and sucks. It really does. Or excuse me, it stinks. This is a family show, but
Yeah, we
it's
both agree on this point. I mean, these are terrible charges, and if true, this has to be roughly the end of this. What should be allowed to continue to happen is that we should find a way to help him to get a degree and to continue on with his life. It should not end his life, but these are massively serious things, and you have to protect students on campuses. The other people who are going to that school are also Badgers, whether they're in sports or not. It's a collection of college students who are trying to learn and grow and become the future selves that they're going to be and become future leaders and everything. And you cannot allow something like this to affect that community. And that's the thing that has to come first. It has to be dealing with the community of students that you're dealing with. That is the job of a university. So, Quintez Cephas, when he's on the field, is one of the, if not the best, one of the top three wide receivers in the Big Ten. Danny Davis is a very good freshman last year who's coming back for his sophomore year. he's been suspended for having been mentioned, which is fair. Okay, I'm not going to complain about this or any of these sort of suspensions that are coming from this, because this has to happen. And I understand you are innocent until proven guilty. Trust me, there's nobody who's going to say that more than me, because I do practice defense work, and I've been around the criminal system in a professional capacity for quite a long time now. But these things have to match up with the goals of the university, what the university has to be, and you have to believe people who are claiming to be victims of these sorts of crimes. You have to believe those people. And you don't have those sorts of rights in terms of your right to play football. Yep, no, they're just going to have to deal with this. And, it's terrible for this team. But this just plays into that Wisconsin thing we were talking about when we last tried to record this. Every time the Badgers have a team that should be competing for national title, as we were saying, the other shoe falls, because the last big one, of course, was the shoebox, Shoegate.
Shoebox, yep, yeah. Exactly.
The shoebox is in Black Earth. There's also a branch of it in Baraboo, Wisconsin. And basically, it's just a shoe store that is local and does have good deals. And the Badgers bought shoes there at prices that I pretty much guarantee you. I mean, I've been there. I get deals there. I've gotten deals there. They're a local store that will do things for you and help you out when if you need to have shoes held there. One of the big things they had there was at one point, one of the players had their shoes paid for by a family member and then held them there until the player came to pick them up. You're like, yeah, it's Black Earth.
Yes.
It's like, come on. It's not a big deal there. And it seemed like it got blown way out of proportion. And the Badgers
that
lost
was Ron,
early
that
game.
Was Ron Dane. That was Ron Dane's last year, right?
Yes.
That happened? Okay.
That team should have been in a title game. It just should have been. They were an amazing team. They had a great defense. They had the best player in college football that year. It was just a ridiculous sort of thing. But this, obviously, it doesn't compare to what's going on now. It's just telling you the mindset. Wisconsin, when we get ranked top 10 to start the season, we just wait for something to screw everything up for us.
No, everyone's terrified. Nobody wants to be ranked this high as a Badger fan. Everyone I've been hearing on talk radio and talking to other friends and stuff like this, like, just start us at 15. Just put us at 15 every year, and we can be the dark horse going into the playoffs. So this whole thing, though, I was listening to a national program today, Mr. Barnett. Your boy Colin Cowherd was talking about Paul Chryst.
Really?
And what they were talking about was that whole story that came out. One of the other coaches said that Nick Saban was overrated because he has all the best players and anybody could win national championships with those kind of teams. And Nick Saban has to actually recruit those players,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he gets those players.
Nick Saban is. Right. Well, yeah, let's not get into that whole thing. But so basically, they came out with the underrated, overrated list as anonymously voted by other coaches. And they named off a bunch of coaches. And Peter Schrager was the guest today, and he was he's great. He's the only person that can get away with busting Colin Cowherd's you-know-what's on the air who doesn't kick off. But anyways, it was funny listening to rip on Cowherd. But both him and Cowherd agreed that Paul Chryst should be on the top of the underrated coaches list.
Yeah.
And Cowherd went on for about a minute about how Nick Saban is obviously the best coach in college. You can't argue that. He has more national championships in the last 10 years than he has home losses. There's no arguing that. But he said, as far as coaching staff goes, he's like, Paul Chryst and the Wisconsin Badgers are the best coaching staff in America because they make the most out of the least, and they're always in the conversation. How about that, John Barnett?
Yeah, and they develop players. I mean, and here's the thing that's going to be exciting for Badgers fans is look at the class coming in for 2019. This class is going to be very good. They've got a four-star quarterback. I think they have a four-star receiver. They have a couple good corners and some of the best linemen. Paul Chryst can recruit, and he's going to get some guys in here who are going to be very exciting for us for the next several years. Nick Saban, he is good. Obviously, that's how he starts getting these recruits, is he was winning. He was winning at Michigan State, which we all hate. But then he won at LSU, and he won at Alabama. Now, granted, that means he gets the first pick of everyone in Louisiana and a lot of the first picks in Mississippi. and poaches some guys from Texas and stuff like that when he was at LSU. And then by the time he came back to Alabama, he's a guy who already had a national championship and could just recruit. And he's got the name of Alabama behind him, too. I mean, here's the thing, though. He gets those guys. He gets them in the room, and he wins on that. That's part of that job. College coaching isn't like pro coaching. And we know this because he was a terrible pro coach. Just
Yes, he was.
terrible.
I mean, that's it's and it, like you said, it's part of recruiting players is part of the, it's a huge part of the job. It's probably the biggest part of the job. So to say that he's right, so it all fits in together. But either way, I guess I'm kind of in a weird conundrum right now because, like with Colin Cowherd, and same with him and Skip Bayless. Now that they've declared something, I feel like I have to vehemently disagree with them. So do I hate the Badgers now? I guess is where I'm at.
No, this is one of those blind pig finds an acorn in the mud someday sorts of scenarios for Colin Cowherd, and if Skip Bayless agrees with him, then same there, because they're trying to find an opinion that will get the most people calling the show, and that's all they really care about. I don't know if they believe any of the things they say because they get
You
caught up
should. You should.
seeing so
You
much.
should have Peter Schrager busting his, you know what's about a couple things today was unbelievable. Like Colin Cowherd was trying to say, like, well, I like baseball players for their numbers, not for their flash, because he was going after Baker Mayfield for his underwear commercials and stuff like that.
Oh, jeez.
And Peter Schrager was like, so you're just all about the numbers, okay? Who's your favorite? Who's the best baseball player in the game? It's like, well, it's Bryce Harper. Peter Schrager's like, are you kidding me? Like, there's at least 10 better players, and Mike Trout's the best player statistically, and he's not flashy at all. So if you like people who aren't flashy and have good numbers, why isn't Mike Trout your favorite baseball player? It was unbelievable. I love Peter Schrager. Anyways,
That's
sorry,
fine.
back to what we were talking.
So moving on into professional football, we've got the Green Bay Packers playing their second preseason game, and they had a barn burner, 85 points with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 51-34. Not a
Yeah,
lot of
how about that
times.
Arena League football game that broke out in Green Bay the other night?
Yeah, it seemed like a small field or something, just everything wrong. There were two touchdowns scored by a defense, by the Packers defense in this game, and that's ridiculous. And of
No
course,
kidding.
in typical preseason football fashion, the leading rusher for your Green Bay Packers was Joel Bonyon. I'm gonna give it just a little bit of Creole sound to that, because that name is crazy. 13 carries for 41 yards.
Who dat?
Who dat? Oh,
Who
what a
dat?
great name. Akeem Judd, in his very last game before retiring, had 5 carries for 3 yards. And of course, with a great name like Joel Bonyon, you know he went to Northern Illinois. Because that's what I think of when I think of that as DeKalb, having a probably the third largest Creole population. I'm estimating. I'm just guessing. I still think it looks like Jamal Williams appears to be the guy that they're going to give the most of the carries to. There's a clear role for Ty Montgomery. That backfield's basically set. There's none of these backup guys who are going in that are impressive, especially since Akeem Judd just retired. And of our other leading rushers, it's Bonyon, Hundley, Ty Montgomery, Aaron Rodgers, DeShone Kizer. So you got this right. Of the top five rushers in the game last week, three of them were quarterbacks. And of course, Rodgers had just one rush because he played five plays, which is ridiculous. We went over this some. His rating in the first four games after season or preseasons where he has 25 or fewer pass attempts is 20 points lower during that first quarter of the season than in seasons where he has 40 or more pass attempts in the preseason. It goes from 106 to 86. And that's going to be tough because we don't have pushovers to start this season. I mean,
No.
the Packers have to start off. They're going to play the Bears at home, the Vikings at home, at Washington, and then the Bills. Say what you will about whatever is going to happen with the Bills quarterback, which might be you or me, Aaron, at some point coming soon.
I got a call the other day, so I've been limbering up my arm.
Yeah,
Gonna lose like 10 pounds.
we know I'm more of a pass catcher, so but
Yeah.
yeah,
Yes.
whatever. That team's hard, but I mean, we'll have to see what goes on there. They still have a legitimate defense. Those are several, well, three legitimate defenses in Washington.
Right.
But we're going to have to go up against that. And three of those games are home. We can't come out slow wasting three home games. We only get eight.
No.
And if you're going to play the last 12 games of the year with just five home games, and you need to try to figure out how you're going to build your way back up, especially if we end up being a game behind the Vikings in the division early because we can't beat them in a home game, we have to win those games. And, you know, the argument is always, you know what? If Aaron Rodgers gets hurt in the preseason, the season's over. And the argument, of course, is we keep complaining that we're wasting Aaron Rodgers' years. We're wasting his talent.
Yes.
Are we playing for Super Bowls or for good seasons? If we're playing for Super Bowls, he has to play in the preseason. This is a precision offense based around timing. And he just has three rookie wide receivers and Kumaro numero uno stepping in.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so it's like you've got a bunch of new guys. Why aren't we just letting him get out there and play? I want to see more of Rodgers. I think it hurts the team to not get him out there more. It hurts the team in the long run because he needs this. So I'm really hoping game three is traditionally the game where the starters play the longest. I'm hoping they keep him in there longer. My guess is I'm going to be disappointed.
He needs to. Everyone seems to forget this. Everyone likes to associate Aaron Rodgers with the big arm, the Hail Marys. That's not what got him the MVP. That's not what got the Super Bowl for him early in his career. What got him that was good routes and knowing where the receiver is and the receivers knowing where they need to be at all times. Greg Jennings, Donnie Driver, Nelson when he was young, Jermichael Finley. Let's name them. They were really good at, I mean, how many touchdowns did he have with Greg Jennings where Greg Jennings stopped at a dime on the goal line, turned around, and the ball was on top of the pylon
right
on a back shoulder throw?
And
I mean,
people
that's the
go
stuff
back
that
check.
They need to do. And like you said, it's a lot of people. And there's a story that just came out today that the Packers are rumored to be shopping out Randall Cobb, which leaves Aaron Rodgers with one receiver. I guess you could. I guess you could
Geronimo,
make the argument that.
No, you got Geronimo will be there too. That's the he's back. I mean, he's going to miss some time there.
Well,
but
maybe
we'll
that's coming up in my questions here about who are going to be the receivers at the beginning of the year.
Well, we'll start with this. I want to get into this. These are the five hot takes I gave Thursday after the Packer game. I sent to you, and I got them with little flames and everything here. The four things that I said were my biggest takeaways. First off, I love Kumaro. And anyone who listened last week knows that I was a little shaky and I didn't know. I mean, I've heard a lot of good on him. I've seen it, but it was just last week was not as impressive as I was hoping. This week was great. He hurt his SC joint, apparently. It's a sprain, but it looks like he'll be fine. I didn't see him on the injury report early in the week, but we'll see. Keep an eye on it, but it looks like he'll be okay. His catch was a great catch on a hard play, catch away from the body, heading to the sideline, turned. Great body control, and then made the safety look just stupid. He did really well. He had three targets. He had three catches. And he turned that into 114 yards and one touchdown. I mean, he had an 82-yarder in there, but you know, he still had two other nice plays. Yeah, so he looks like he's definitely just the real guy. Equanimeous St. Brown seems to at least have some people's confidence because he had five targets. He only caught one of them, but He seemed more stable in the several times I've seen him, including family night. He's not flashy, but he gets the ball. My second main point is, and I know you agree with me on this because we talked about it last week, I want to see Kaiser with the ones. I don't want to see it this week because I want to see Aaron Rodgers more, but I think Kaiser deserves to go into a game before Hundley. Kaiser looked better.
That touchdown that he threw to Tanyan, that back shoulder throw in the right side of the end zone, third, fourth quarter, whichever it was, that was a beautifully thrown ball. That was a touchdown throw we haven't seen out of a backup quarterback in Wisconsin since
Peterson. Ty Teeny Hands Detmer.
Oh, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers were both backup quarterbacks at one point. So I guess that you could say that. So,
Mark Brunell.
The guy was a big talent coming out of college. He got stuck on one of the worst football teams in history, one of the most dysfunctional, worst teams in history. They're right up there with the 2009-10 Detroit Lions, the 70s Buccaneers when they first came into the league, and some would even argue the Packers from the 40s or 50s when they before Lombardi came in. You know, those were some of the worst franchises that ever existed.
Those are
And
bad.
so you put this poor kid in there, and you brought this up the other day when we were talking. You know, at least maybe he hasn't had his confidence completely broken yet. So maybe he hasn't had the David Carr effect. You know, David Carr coming out of coming out of college, first round draft pick of the Houston Texans on that expansion team. That guy, if he would have been picked by any other team, would probably still be in the league and would still probably be pretty good. The problem is he got sacked 150 times in 2 years when he came into the league and couldn't stand in the pocket for more than 2 seconds without
Yeah, that was
taking off running for
sad to
his
see.
life. So, and I mean, obviously there's some genetics there because his brother is really good, you know, Derek Carr. So give the kid a shot. And I mean, Hundley in 2 preseason games really hasn't shown me anything that we didn't already know about him last year. I had high hopes for Hundley, and last year was kind of a, I don't know. But either way, I think Kaiser, I'm right there with you with Kaiser. Give the kid a shot. And I really think that going into the season, I think he should be the number two quarterback. But that's just my humble opinion. I don't run an NFL football team and never have. So, you know, I'll leave it to the pros, but that's just my opinion.
All right. My last two points I had were maybe less thrilling. My other point was Kyler Fackrell can't hold Reggie Gilbert's jock. He looks
No.
bad, and I think we all know, and I think this has to be true, that Kyler Fackrell must have had naked photos of Ted Thompson or something, some sort of blackmail material. Because how is he
Something.
still on a football team? How was he the first backup on this football team for any of those positions? How does he see the field? How did he end up getting half a sack? Because he did. Mostly because Reggie Gilbert chased a guy around for a while, and then Fackrell ended up running into him. And I said this in the lost recording. Kyler is not a name you give a human being. I'm sticking with
Switch. We named the dog Indiana. Yeah,
it.
no, it's the dog's name. No,
I like Tyler. I want to call him Kyle. Let's just go Kyler. That sounds reasonable. I don't
I know a Kyler. I'm gonna have to tell him you
know.
said that. Anyways,
No, you don't, you liar. There's no chance you know a
hey, you
Kyler.
should check out this podcast we got. My co-host is gonna, he's gonna rip you.
Yeah, the other thing, my last one,
Yeah,
going
no, what
also
about
with
that?
names, Greer Martini, the linebacker, he needs to be replaced by Jake Leinenkugel of the Leinenkugel Brewing family, who I believe they
Absolutely.
all went to high school at Campion High School, which was an all-boys boarding school run by Jesuits in Prairie du Chien. That is now a minimum security prison, and I know this because my father also went there. We've
Well,
toured
that's
it.
telling.
Yeah, it became, after they lost their money, it became, I think, a Lutheran school, and then it became a minimum security prison. So yeah, we just like to
Fantastic.
joke that all the graduates just get to go back now. They all come home.
So class reunions are a blast, I bet you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, their school
So
doesn't exist, so it's interesting.
I was gonna ask you. We did 5 questions for John Barnett the other day during the loss recording, and you basically answered them all already. And that is the first one I was gonna ask you about was Gilbert, and that guy's a beast. I want to see him. I want to see more of him. He's kind of a. Did you say he's converted safety out
No.
of Arizona? Was that what he was?
No, he was an end or rusher out of Arizona. He was an undrafted free agent as a rookie, and we picked him up last year, and this is one of the things, this is one of the few things that Ted Thompson that did that just drove me crazy, because the free agent thing didn't bother me as much, but he loved his picks over anybody else on the team, and Kyler Fackrell was one of his crazy picks, and Reggie Gilbert was an undrafted rookie free agent, and he definitely misjudged this, and he kept Kyler on the team and put Reggie Gilbert on the practice squad. Reggie Gilbert's the way better player. We saw it at the end of the season last year, where you're like, holy cow, why? Why were we hiding this guy when Clay Matthews is always hurt? And he was clearly better than Kyler Fackrell. And he looks like he should be really pushing to get a lot of rotational time with Perry, who is now back and healthy. It sounds like he's back off the PUP list. and also Clay Matthews. He should get a lot of rotational time, keep them fresh, and of course, those guys are both going to get hurt at some point, it sounds like. That's just what normally happens. But yeah, it's 2.5 sacks, and he should have had the one all by himself, except for Kyler kind of ran into him, and Reggie had to finish him up. He had a great game. He's been consistent. He's got a great motor. He's got good hands. He gets himself up the field, and he can bend that edge. So I love seeing him. He makes me very, very happy. I just wish we'd saw him all of last year.
That being said, well, you just alluded to it, and one of the things that kind of all of us, even those of us who always were behind Ted Thompson, like, oh, I'll take playoffs every year. That's fine. You know,
yeah.
I'd rather be a winning team. You know, it's like we were talking about the Brewers the other day. I'd rather have a team in the race to the end than being the Baltimore Orioles or the Kansas City Royals right now, or the Cleveland Browns of the NFL, you know, like never have any hope. But that is one thing that always made me mad about Ted Thompson was this holding draft picks over an undrafted or trying to get somebody better off the free agent market that might cost a little bit more. Ted always just held hooked into those draft picks, and they were the last ones to go because we build from within. And so that kind of leads me into my next question, because I'm conditioned to think we never get rid of draft picks. So if Cumro Numero Uno, cousin of Joey Bosa and grandson of a mob boss, known convicted killer. Look it up, people.
It's out
Cumro's
there.
Grandpa definitely had something to do with the Valentine Day Massacre in Chicago. Anyways, so if we're keeping Cumro and Cobb doesn't get traded, so you got Cobb, Adams, Cumro. We're guessing Allison stays around because there has to be somebody else who's ever played a game with Aaron Rodgers. Who are the three that they're keeping? Because if they're keeping Cumro, one of those three draft picks have to go. Because they're not going to carry 7 wide receivers this year. They've got way too many good tight ends. I mean, Jimmy Graham, oh, by the way, chalk him up for fantasy football people, chalk him up for 15 touchdowns this year, all less than 15 yards out. His hands, when he caught that touchdown pass the other night, his hands are so huge. He's not what he used to be back in the Saints days, but man, he's going to be for real. And the tight end core is awesome. So bringing it back to the point, though, so we're probably going to keep 3 tight ends, definitely keeping the fullback because the Packers have to have a fullback because we just have to. 6 wide receivers, 3 hold-ons, Cumro. Now you've got 2 out of those 3 draft picks. Which one of the 3 draft picks goes? And is it going to be the 4th rounder because he's been by far the most disappointing of the group?
That could be the hard part. I think Equanimeous is the guy who definitely is in. Equanimeous, Tristan, Imhotep, J. St. Brown. Which, the thing that should bother me the most is that there isn't a St. Brown. There isn't one, so that's weird. He looks good, and I also like Marquez Valdez-Scantling. MVS yes. has looked good. He's got real special teams ability, which is a good thing that keeps you around if you're going to be that 6th or 7th. If you're only keeping 6, they are going to be, at this point, Devontae, Cobb, Geronimo, like we said, Cumro, Scantling, and Equanimeous. I think that there's still a chance they keep 7. I don't think there's no chance. I think there's a decent chance they keep 7. Would be interesting to have, but he has dropped 3 or 4 big passes that he just should have had, and that's hard. The other thing that stinks about that is that he's never going to clear waivers to make it to a practice squad. You want to try to store him on a practice squad, he has to clear waivers. Someone's going to pick him up. He's going to make a team somewhere. He's going to be a 6th receiver somewhere, just not here. So if you want to keep him, you're keeping him on the active roster, and I don't think any of those rookies clear waivers. D'Angelo Yancey might be a guy who can hang around because I think you can be on there twice. And so we could keep him on waiver. We could waive him, bring him back on the practice squad because I think he's likely to clear. I don't know for certain, but he's looked better than last year. I like his skill set, but he doesn't beat those other 3 guys. And I think that's where we are. If we're keeping 6, Jamon Moore is gone. And that's sad because I really liked his play set. I thought he had really good hands. He's got a great ability to turn up field and break a tackle, too. I just haven't seen it yet. So that bugs me. And of course, I'm not on the coaching staff. I don't have the tape that they have in terms of what's going on in practice every day. But
Okay.
he hasn't looked as good. He just hasn't looked as good as the others. And I still think there's a chance they keep seven. At this point, I would probably bet on it as opposed to against it.
See, I'm a little jaded, like I said, because of the Ted Thompson days. I think Kumerow's out simply because they're not going to let a fourth round draft pick, rookie fourth round draft pick, never have a chance. I don't know
Wow.
if they'll do that. I don't know if they'll do that. And I mean, and there's no question what the Packers are doing here. You alluded to it earlier about Tom Brady when we got into that sidebar about Tom Brady. Big tight ends, seams down the middle, opening it up. Obviously, they let Jordy go for a reason. A declining talent had part of it, obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean, they got Graham Kendricks. Kendricks, who's shorter than most of the receivers. I didn't even realize that, but yeah. Graham Kendricks and Mercedes Lewis. I mean, Mercedes Lewis and Graham are a combined 13 feet 2 inches. Like, they are huge. Like, and Mercedes Lewis has never been known as a pass catching tight end. He's always been a blocking tight end. Well, that's because he was with the Jaguars. And name me five quarterbacks in Jaguars history. Not name Mark Brunell and Blake
Oh,
Bortles.
come
I
on.
mean, there you can't.
Behind the curtain, I worked the very first Jaguars preseason camp. Their very first camp was at UW Stevens Point. My brother Dan and I worked that camp. We kept people behind the rope. We did some concession sales and helped get things ready for the players before practices and stuff. We were volunteers, and that was great. I'm trying to think who they had. It was Steve
Yeah.
Berline. Steve Berline was
Oh,
there.
Steve Berline.
But yeah, Berline was their first starter. And no
Yeah,
one else
Berline, he
remembers
was a
that.
legit quarterback for a lot of years. He was a solid guy. Yeah, okay, well, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, so
Okay.
that's where they started with that
And
team,
it's.
and they had
So
they also went out and got Don Davies, former Badger, former Packer, when he became great, so, or good.
and
We'll say
uh, and,
good.
and now on the IR for the Brewers. Yep, got it.
No, not quite. But yeah,
Oh, sorry.
well, you had
I
did
got
you had a
confused
couple
there.
other questions, I think, before we got on this, didn't you?
But anyways, thank you for proving my point that Mercedes Lewis has never had anyone worth a damn to throw a ball to him before. So yeah, he's probably gonna be worth it. Let's see here. So I think that kind of wraps it up. I was just getting that.
All right.
Oh no, I remember what my last question was. How nice was it at the beginning of the game to have Tremont Williams return the first play back for a touchdown? I miss that guy.
I
I'm
do.
glad he's back.
He's a good guy,
And
and the big thing is having somebody like that to help out these young rookies and second year players, and in Rollins' case, third year players, or yeah, fourth year, whatever it is, yeah, just to help them. I guess he's fourth, isn't he? Get guys that training, get them that experience as to what you need to do. He's a guy who was undersized and always found a way to make the play, and it's good to have him. House is still out there too somewhere, so it's nice to have some of that to get that veteran edge to help those guys get better. I love watching Joshua Jackson. That guy can just find a way to get his hand on a ball, and he pulled one in too. It was great to see that.
Yep.
I think the other
Yeah,
thing
no, I think.
that you
Oh,
had
go ahead, sorry.
mentioned too that was super important in this game, I don't know if you want to get to it now or if you want to get to it after if you have something else to add, but the helicopter story.
Oh, God. Well, I will finish. I will finish. We'll get back to the helicopter. I actually have it up in the background here. But no, it was good to have Tremont back and actually heard an interview with Tremont, being 35 now and actually having been gone for a couple of years. And, he's not in his prime anymore. But one of the things that he was on that 0-16 Cleveland team last year, too, along with DeShone Kizer. So, if anything else, he'll be there to help DeShone Kizer along, like, hey, here's what a winning organization looks like. Let's do this. And but he's more of a coach now. These older players that have been around the block, they kind of fill into a coaching role after a while. They were talking about that out in New York. McCown, who's the backup quarterback along with Teddy Bridgewater behind Darnold, he was actually offered a quarterback coach position in the offseason. Like, he is already being pegged as one of the next coaches in the NFL. So,
Yeah.
and that's a big deal. Like, that's half the reason why the New York Jets, there's this kind of buzz around them at quarterback, because McCown can help, and he helped DeShone Kizer, and stuff like that too. And the guy's been around the league. Same thing with all these other positions. Someone like Tremont Williams, who's been around, he's been on Super Bowl winning teams. Tremont Williams, if no one remembers, and the run to the Super Bowl, had a huge pick six in the Atlanta game. Now, Aaron Rodgers was insane in the Atlanta game,
Yeah, that too.
on the way to the Super Bowl, but he was in a different world at that time. That was that about halfway through the Super Bowl season, he went into that other world. But Tremont Williams had a huge pick six that went a long ways to helping the game, and I think it's going to be good to have him back. These super talented young guys, and our backfield's been lacking any good leadership for a long time. Ever since Nick Collins left way too early,
Poor guy.
Tremont Williams got out of town. Nick Collins, Hall of Fame career cut short. That guy would have been in the HOF. I mean, anyways. But yeah, what was this about your Navy Blackhawks flying around Lambeau Field?
And they're called something else for the Navy, right? Did you say they had a different name?
It's
That
just
they're
a different desert. It's
Yeah, in the Army
still a
there is a
Dash 60. So instead of
UH-60 in the Army,
instead of a
Black Hawk helicopter.
UH-60, it's a CH-60 or something like that.
Yeah.
So and I apologize too, because I had to link up from the our friends at the Green Bay Press Gazette, but
I
it
think,
timed out on me here,
and the
so
gist
I'm
of it goes
not
something
reading
like
about a shooting.
these Navy, basically Black Hawk helicopters, they were called Seahawk helicopters, right? And they went,
Seahawks, yes, that's
yeah,
exactly
Seahawk
it.
helicopters, they were flying basically their own little circuit over Lambeau Field and whatnot, and it was completely unauthorized. And it's just like,
Because
just rogue Navy aviators.
what a lot of people don't realize is that there is a naval there is a there is a naval reserve center in both Green Bay and Marinette, Wisconsin, or Menominee, or
Right.
up there
Just in
by
case the
Marinette.
Canadians get uppity.
Just a hey, you get back, you maple syrup eating. Anyways, but yeah, so they basically got into a pattern above Lambeau Field for like the entire game. Like, they were just flying around. And my youngest brother, as people who listen to this podcast know, we're both military. You're retired military. I'm still in, and I have a younger brother who is also in the military. He flies Blackhawks, and knowing my brother and knowing pilots, no one told them no. So that's probably what happened. So they're like, "Hey, let's go fly around Lambeau and check out the game."
Jeez.
And why not? I mean, and I'm sure somebody got their butt chewed for it. But
Unless, of
hey,
course,
you know
that
what? They're
higher
all
up
warrant
brass
officers, and
was.
nobody catches.
Yeah, I say, unless the higher up brass was in the helicopter with them.
Unless it was the colonel going, "Hey, go fly around Lambeau. I want to see what's going on with the game. I want to see this receiving corps. I want to see if this numero uno is worth watching."
Yeah, clearly. All right. Well, that's where we are. We do just the little bit of look back or look forward here to see kind of what we're going to be looking at next week. Next week, Packers get to play Oakland in Oakland, and that I mean that'll be interesting. We'll hopefully get to see a bit of Carr, get to see what Amari Cooper looks like, and he's going to be more alone this year because they don't have Crabtree because he's playing in Baltimore. The defense in Oakland isn't anything that's been particularly great to write home about other than Khalil Mack, who, how great would it be if we could just kind of find a way to sneak him onto an airplane back to Green Bay? Still, I don't.
Hey, it should be like a prisoner exchange. When we show up in Oakland, our GM, Goodart, Gutenkunst, walks out to the center of the Oakland Coliseum, right off the third baseline, because they have the dirt. And he walks out, and then Mark Davis walks out from the other side. Mark Davis has Khalil Mack with him, and Gutenkunst has Matthews and a briefcase full of money, and they meet at the 50-yard line, and then they just exchange jerseys, and
Yeah.
then Khalil Mack comes back with the Packers, and Matthews goes away with the Oakland Raiders. Wouldn't that be
Right.
great? Oh, that'd be
Yeah,
awesome.
man, and none of this will happen. We all know, I think I know this. I don't know if you know this, I guess at this point. Khalil Mack is not going to be a Packer. It's just
I
not
live
going to
in
happen.
fantasy land. Let me live in fantasy land, John. Just let me do it, please.
Yeah, go right ahead. I guess, I mean, like, the only way
The
that that
Packers
happens.
set me up for failure back in the early 90s when they landed Reggie White.
Yeah.
Like, what? No way. Reggie White, that guy's awesome. And then we win Super Bowls. But
Yeah.
anyway, sorry.
I don't
I
know. I mean, just the
keep
big thing
interrupting.
for me is I just think that he's just worth too much. Oakland's going to find a way to keep him. They're going to pay him, right? And we can't have the highest paid offensive and the highest paid defensive player in the football. I just don't know that it could happen. I would like to see something like that because I would just love to see all the best players playing in Green Bay. It would definitely make our defense a top 10. I just don't see if there's any possible way that this actually gets done unless Oakland gets desperate. And nobody's making a trade now, so if they are shopping him, they haven't been getting nearly what they've been asking for. Maybe the price comes down, but I don't think it's going to happen. For any of you out there
I
who
would
are
also like. I also do like. I want to see in this game coming up here. Back to the point at hand is that so Pittsburgh didn't give the Packers anything on offense. I mean, they didn't. Roethlisberger wasn't playing. Jarvis Landry didn't even play. They played their third string quarterback, you know, against us. No Le'Veon Bell. No Antonio Brown. I mean, I don't even know if they had a starting tight end. So it'll be nice to actually see Amari Cooper and Derek Carr and some formidable offensive weapons go up against
Jared
some of these
Cook.
young cornerbacks and see what they can do.
Yeah. I'll say if any of you out there are degenerate gamblers, of course, the point spread right now is Oakland -6.5. The money line is -300 for them. There's an over under of 40.5. One of these teams was just in an 85-point game, and the over under is 40.5 in a preseason game. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know. Whatever. It could be whatever it's going to be. It's, who knows? And who is gambling on this game? Somebody is because there's a line.
Somewhere there is a Rooney turning in his grave and a Lombardi rolling in his grave, seeing that the Packers and the Steelers rolled up 80 plus points in any kind of game, preseason, regular season, Super Bowl, whatever. Yeah, I mean,
Right.
it's, yeah.
Anyhow. That will wrap
Celebrated
it up for
franchises.
us this week. Make sure you please follow us
What?
at ScunnyJohnny1 on Twitter. That's at ScunnyJohnny, the number one. Also, make sure to find us and subscribe. We are currently on Google Play. We will very soon be available on iTunes. We're efforting that. Once we are, please make sure you go find us, subscribe, and give us 5 stars. And please write a review for us if you could. We'd like to hear from everybody. If you're going to give us 4 or 3 stars, would it kill you to give us 5? I mean, come on. It helps people find the
Just let me know.
podcast. Just go ahead and please give us that. The other thing you can do is you can follow us at jbarn54. That's JBARN54. Also, you can follow Aaron at
At Cheddar Talk. It's
perfect.
much easier. I don't even have to spell it out for you. Just Cheddar Talk. At Cheddar Talk. Ampersand Cheddar Talk.
Of
Cheddar
course.
Talk.
And then, of
Send
course,
me topics. Send us topics. Send us ideas. I mean, me and John would love to talk about anything you guys would like to hear us talk about. I mean, it'd be great.
sports related. Don't send me politics questions. We're not going to do that. No,
Me and
too much.
John don't align on politics, and that's a whole different show. But
Ah,
anyways.
whatever. We're fine. And also, if you have anything else, you want to send us any more of those questions, send them to ScannyJohnny, ScannyJohnny, @gmail.com. So reach out for us at ScannyJohnny@gmail.com. And of course, as we let you go, remember if you're on the town or on the go, it's always on Wisconsin.
Heyo!